Stacey Dales, NFL Network correspondent.
Doing great. Good morning, everybody.
Breaking down the Bears beating news around the NFL.
What an absolute delight to be joined by the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. That is Caleb Williams. How has this thing been going for you, Caleb?
Yeah, it's been really fun.
Former WNBA star.
And the ball stolen away. Didn't see her coming, and Perkins gets the clean steal. Over to Dales, easy land. Stacey Dales off a beautiful feed from Elaine Powell.
Stacey Dales with Mully and Haw.
And I live in Chicago, and I do the Score radio, a little plug there.
Sure.
Every
670.
Week.
670.
Shout out to the host.
This has been an emotional freaking roller coaster, you guys.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to Stacey Dales. And like all our guests, she's brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Stacey, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. There's been so much to talk about this week, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
How, you know, I got to tell you, there's nothing wrong with being the lead story. There's nothing wrong with having everybody in the league talk about the Bears, unless it's about that failed Hail Mary full of disgrace, as we were told by one texter.
Yeah, I had the Detroit game, which was a, I don't even know what you call it. It was like a pro team against the varsity team on Sunday, with all due respect to Tennessee. But I was like so eagerly trying to get the Bears game on my YouTube TV and on my phone, and watched it very closely, particularly in the second half. And I'm still on the tarmac trying to leave Detroit, and I watched the ending. So I watched it on the plane, and I was in shock like the rest of everybody. I remember vividly when I caught the tail end of the first, Jim Nantz saying something like, Chicago's fortunate to be down only 9, and that was in the first half. I don't – when you think about, well, they didn't play well enough to win the game, they were in the game, so they could win the game. And in the NFL, a win is a win. I don't care how it comes. There were so many questionable things in the last 7 minutes of the game. It's just kind of hard to wrap your head around it if you're a Bears fan, because I got texted by a lot of them, including somebody that I work with who is, you know, one of the leaders that I work with and is a diehard Bears fan. And the pain in the text message was significant.
So, Stacey, what kind of credibility damage does that create around the league for the Bears and Matt Eberflus specifically, and how does that manifest itself?
Well, you can't really, you know, you blink and you move on in the NFL. I don't think other teams are sitting worrying about what the Bears are doing other than the last play. I think everybody showed their team what can happen. I think timeouts are a lifeline, and I think they breathe life into situations, and I think as a player, I always, you know, basketball's a different sport, but if you had a glimpse of a momentous, you know, the momentum of like Jaden Daniels, he's a rookie quarterback, like a timeout just destroys that, because, and they had timeouts. And listen, I hate questioning coaching decisions, because I'm not in their rooms. You guys know this about me. I'm not in their rooms. I've never coached in the NFL. But I think I'm 16 years in the league, and I have a good eye for, like, things. And I go back to 6:20, fourth quarter. You're down, 12-7. It's third and goal. And, yes, we've all hammered the Doug Kramer end off. He's a sixth-round pick 2 years ago out of Illinois. The man has never taken a snap. He's never run the football out of the backfield. So I asked a question, a very specific question, because I think about the quarterback, and I think about a rookie quarterback. And we always hear in the NFL, like with offensive coordinators, especially these days, the greatest offensive coordinators are going to design the play and the game and the scheme around the assets and the skill sets of their players, correct? Especially a guy like Caleb Williams. So I then in the middle of that moment, think in my head as I'm watching this transpire, what did Caleb want? Now, obviously, the Commanders did a really good job defensively in this game. I mean, I thought their plan was, they stuck to it. They were outstanding defensively. They're the 29th ranked red zone defense in the National Football League. So they've been scored on. And then I think mostly about my quarterback. What would Caleb want in this instance? They're obviously going to see some mass protect. It's third and goal. And then I think in my head, what would they do on fourth down? Would they hand it off to Doug Kramer on a fourth? What if it was fourth and one, fourth and goal? Would you hand it off to Doug Kramer, who this season has played 8 snaps out of the backfield? He's never touched the football. That is a lot of pressure. Now, I saw some analysts out there that criticized Caleb Williams' handoff, that it was too high. Oh, come on. Imagine Caleb handing it off to an offensive lineman for the first time in his career.
Right.
Tell me a time Caleb, at any point in his career, handed it off to a 6'5 offensive lineman out of the backfield. Okay? He's used to handing it off to a 6 foot, 5'8, 5'9, 6 foot running back. And now they got a redo, right? Because they got Roschon Johnson in the end zone. Was it the next series?
Yes.
After another great defensive stop by the Bears defense, who's been outstanding this season. So they got a redo, and Roschon got his touchdown. But, like, I think in my head, what were they thinking giving a handoff to Doug Kramer on third and goal? Because is that what Caleb would that make him most comfortable in that moment? And I'm just not sure. If I were Caleb Williams, that would be the most comfortable play call for me.
Yeah, there were so many problems in that game, but the worst thing about it is that Caleb Williams led them back down to a touchdown to take the lead with 33 sec, whatever it was. And, you know, he had done exactly what Poles had said, you know, you trust in your teammates, and then you do the special. And he had done the special. They took the lead. They had won the game. And to somehow have that turn on you in the fashion in which it did, it's so gutting. And it just robbed them of one of the great moments of their season.
Yeah, I agree. It's a deflating end to, I mean, Nance called it, it's a miracle. I'll never forget. It's a miracle. Well, it is a miracle. And I loved Cole Kmet's comments yesterday about respecting the game. Listen, I watched Tyreek Stevenson's, I'm a big fan of his. I think he's a delight. I really do. He was an outstanding rookie. He's only in his second season. I think he is extremely remorseful. In fact, if I'm the Bears, I hope he doesn't carry this for too long outside of learning from it. Because he's a young player in this league. He loves the game. He's got a great spirit to be around. So to stand up in front of his team, to apologize in front of his peers, to apologize publicly on a social media platform is one thing, but to do it in front of his teammates. I had teammates in my career that made really horrific decisions. And in game that you could turn around and one and look at a teammate and say, do they really care? And then look at the teammate that does and say, we're going to be okay. I think he's going to be okay. I loved how he handled it. Did he make a mistake? Yes. But, you know, they were not lined up right. Do we all agree? Like, they just weren't.
Yeah.
Well, they weren't lined up right.
How many times is there a Hail Mary? It's a very uncommon thing. But you knew it was coming.
Right.
And when I listened to Flus yesterday, they thought it might come with the 6 seconds. Like, everybody's criticizing why they didn't, you know, bring their corners up and why they just handed them that extra 13 yards. Well, I don't know. My takeaway when I listened to Flus yesterday was they thought the Hail Mary might come on that play. Am I wrong?
Well,
no, he said that.
He said that, but it's implausible.
It was insane.
It's kind of ridiculous.
Because even if it did come at that point, it would have been at like the 10, the 15-yard line. It wouldn't have been in the end zone.
But I'm getting to a point, too, on that. Like, if you thought the Hail Mary was coming the play before, so basically the penultimate play, shouldn't you have been lined up perfectly in your Hail Mary defense on the second play?
Yeah.
And that's the thing that that confuses
Doesn't
me.
Make
and
sense.
When I, as soon as I saw Jaden Daniels skip back to the left, right, they had him out to the right. He comes back to the left. He had open freeway. Like he had his set. He was ready to launch that thing. And, you know, we saw what happened. I mean, his his teammate had, you know, an easy tap into the end zone. He was all by himself. It's a learning moment for sure. I'll say this about Flus. You guys know this. For anybody who watched his presser yesterday, he is never going to throw anybody under the bus publicly.
Yeah.
So if you wanted him to stand up and say Tyreek's bad or Shane didn't make this call, he's never going to do that.
You don't have to, though. You don't have to say things if you have actions that say them for you. And Stacey, I want to back up for a second. I respect the fact that you like and respect Tyreek Stevenson and what he offers in terms of being a dynamic personality, but is contrition enough? Don't you have to send a message? If you are a head coach, you've been in a lot of NFL locker rooms, and every one of them, don't you think that there are head coaches that would send a message by either not starting the kid or being inactive next week? Don't you have to do something that holds him accountable for what was recklessness on that play?
I mean, yeah, if you want to send a message to your locker room, I think of coaches that might do it, and I don't want to be too speculative. I hate that, but like hypotheticals, but like I'm sure Bill Belichick would send a message like that. Mike Vrabel, you know, some of the older school regimes. I don't know. Here's the dilemma you're facing, David. Tyreek Stevenson's one of your best football players.
Yeah, but
he's one of your best players. I know. Are you going to take him out against Arizona with Kyler Murray the way he's starting to play?
Yes.
Like, so, well, I don't think it's going to happen. I think there might be an internal, maybe he doesn't start the game. I don't think we're not going to see him in the whole game next week. I just don't. I think that it was a poor decision on his part. He was in the heat of the moment. I'm not making excuses for him.
I know.
But I don't think they can go without him against they go on the road this week and then they're back for a big home stretch. Like, this is an important game given how the rest of the division is doing. He's one of your best players. Maybe it goes back to his comments. We'll see how the week plays out. We'll see how Tyreek shows up to practice Wednesday through Friday this week. And maybe they make a decision Friday. I don't know, guys. I'm not in that room, but I don't see them suspending him against the Arizona Cardinals this week.
Mm. Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see if anything is done. This segment with Stacey Dales is brought to you by McGrath, Acura, and Westmont. When you do the math, you'll choose McGrath. They also have like serious offensive line issues to the point where it looks like Nate Davis may be resuscitated. I don't know how to think about his career or where he was at, but it seemed like the last couple of games being on the being not on the active roster, it would seem like he was heading to the kind of Velus Jones exit.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because with Tevin and Braxton now in the red, it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of shuffle this thing around. I mean, they have to use every, that's the next man up, right, in the NFL, but. And then how the offensive scheme changes because of that. I thought there were some bright spots on Sunday. DeAndre Swift has really come alive on the ground. It's great to see. I loved that play where he basically hurdled a Commander's defender. But yeah, I think running the football has to be a continued practice for this team for the rookie quarterback. And it is tough. Going back to your point, Molly, to see. You know, he goes home, and it was already an emotional contest against Jaden Daniels, who, by the way, had a ribs injury. I mean,
right?
These two guys are great. The debate of like who's better, like I hate that debate. They have different play callers. They're in different circumstances and in different situations, and they're both so uniquely different but gifted. And it's just fun to. It's going to be fun to see their trajectories, but. It's tough because, like, if you think about, like, if the Chiefs were in that game, would Patrick Mahomes have won? And I think I said this to you guys last week, like, the moment's never too big. I think he'll have a short memory, Caleb will. And his fourth quarter was so impressive. He just went out and played. And I think a lot of that was just him playing. That throw to Keenan Allen where they improvised across the field, he goes out to the right and he throws it back to the left across the field. Keenan makes the adjustment. Those are just playmaking, natural, innate instinct type plays. And that's kind of where when I watch the Commanders, the ball just goes to open space. Like, Terry McLaurin had a field day just throwing darts into open space where he runs his route and boom, the ball's right there. I hope for the Bears it gets easier that way more consistently.
So you've got Lions-Packers, and that's going to be one of the biggest games of the week. And you look at those two head coaches, they have impact on Sundays. I just wonder, when you consider the game you're about to cover and you watch the team that we're talking about now, did what happened last Sunday in Landover change your opinion about whether the Bears can contend in that division?
Oh, that's a great question, David. In the sense of, like, I hate, like, the idea of, like, because it was a Hail Mary, it's so uncommon. It's just really unprecedented. I can't believe it happened.
Yeah. 6 years since the last Hail Mary.
Right? Thank you. Yeah. Okay, I didn't realize it was six, Molly. Yeah. What doesn't change my perception, I'll answer it this way, is how good the Lions are outside of their inability to get off the edge the way they could. With Mark, you know, Marcus Davenport and Aiden Hutchinson, and how good I think the Packers can be. I mean, and we'll see how quickly things can change. We just, you know, obviously Minnesota, Detroit beats them, and then they go and play the Rams. The Rams beat them, but their defense is top five in the league. I mean, as we've talked about. So I think. Between Dan Campbell and Matt LaFleur right now, like they've got a better defense in Green Bay. I just think their ability to win games situationally down the stretch, like the way they won, like the way Detroit beat Tennessee, that's how they should have beat them, right? Like they did that right. And then they go to Minnesota the week before and they win with complimentary football down the stretch with management. Like they just really situationally manage the game with Goff. They have that thing now. They've got that. If they add a pass rusher, shoot. I mean, it's going to be a problem for the rest of the division, but they're those two right now still are to me, and you know, it's going to be tough for the, we'll see. I mean, the Bears play the Packers week 11, and I believe it's in Chicago, and yep. I anticipate having that game, and we'll learn a lot about them then. The divisional games matter so deeply in this league.
Are you or are you not a candidate for the Chicago Sky head coaching job?
Hey, man, my phone has not gone off, so I don't think so.
Oh, darn, I was hoping. Yeah. I was hoping they might have called.
But you know, when I was in my first year as a Chicago Sky player, you know who we hired?
Who?
Dave Cowens.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Dave Cowens had never coached a female basketball player. Like that was an experiment, guys. I'll tell you, that was an experiment. That was something else. I'll
one
never
day,
forget. We
that's went a segment.
We went like one and whatever. We barely won a game, but no doubt Teresa Witherspoon with her gone. We'll see who they hire that Angel Reese likes.
Exactly.
I gotta tell you, I you know, the WNBA had like a big year. Stacey, they fired like half the coaches.
7 of 13 coaches.
It's crazy.
Yep.
Can you believe it? Right. Christy Sides, who helped turn around that thing in Indy with Caitlin Clark. And then Stephanie White, who's, you know, had her team in the playoffs. Now, everybody's saying Stephanie White's going to go back. You remember she played at Purdue, won a national championship at Purdue. She actually coached me for a hot minute in Chicago as an assistant coach. But, yeah, it'll be interesting. But, yeah, the WNBA really.
So she could be your assistant.
Look at you. Oh boy!
Shoot, man, and then you could really criticize some play calling because I've been out of the game for a while.
Thanks, Stacey.
You're the best. Thank you, Stacey.
All right, see you guys.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
That'd be great.
Stacey Dales with the NFL Network. Hey, before Chicago takes on Arizona, tune in Sunday from noon to 3 p.m. for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by Aurelio's, Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley, both really strong this week, and even me, not quite as strong. will be live at Wonderverse in Oak Brook, as we'll get you set for the game. And then immediately following the game, we'll have instant reaction from Wonderverse on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse, Chicago, and TimberTech Decking and Railing. All of it can be heard on the Score and the Odyssey app. Why don't you come out? Come out and see us. I believe Dustin is coming out, David.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I hope you guys have a great day.
He's going to be running the show.
So yep.
That's frightening.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.